Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on any sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now skip down to verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. And as we look at this subject, the passing of the torch, we pray that you would open our eyes, show us your truth, that we might understand and be prepared for what is coming upon the earth. We thank you for your word. And as we study and look into it, and as your Spirit works in our hearts, we can see what it is you are about to do as your word unfolds it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning, we want to look at the topic of, which I give a title to, the passing of the torch. There's going to come a day in the future when God is going to judge the earth. Revelation chapter 6 shows that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is opening the seals progressively, sequentially, which is on outside of the scroll or the book which he took from the hand of the Father, and he now is in the process of opening the seals. He gets to the sixth seal, and it in fact is the sign of the day of the Lord and the coming of Jesus Christ. So now that those two events are impending or are about to occur, because the sign is given in the sixth seal from verses 12 through 17, and the end of verse 16 says, Hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? His wrath, known as the day of the Lord in the Old and New Testament, is the most prophesied event in Scripture. So the six seals have been unveiled, they've been opened, and the statement is made here that God's day of the Lord wrath is about to occur. The coming of the Lord, he's going to intervene in the affairs of men on earth at this point in time. But before the seventh seal is opened in chapter 8, two major events occur in chapter 7, and they're marked off by this phrase, after these things, verse 1, verse number 9, after this. And both of those phrases are identical. There are two events, and they're there they are, the ceiling of the 144,000 and the great multitude arriving in heaven. That great multitude comes out of great tribulation, the great tribulation there in verse 14 of chapter 7. It's clear then the time that is clear from the sequence, because that sequence is mentioned in Matthew 24. For Jesus said, after that tribulation shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Matthew 24, verse 29, which agrees with Revelation 6, 12 through 17. So the sign is given, and now the events that have to unfold before God's wrath comes upon the earth are, number one, the sealing of the 144,000, number two, the rapture of the church. And those two groups, the church and the 144,000, make up the two groups where we see the passing of the torch. From the beginning of biblical history, God has always prepared the next generation to represent Him and His Word on earth before the preceding generation passed on into eternity. Moses trained Joshua. Paul trained Timothy. The Lord trained His disciples before they passed the torch to the next generation. This illustrates just a few instances of God's practice of working in the lives of successive generations of His servants. So it will be at the end of the age when the saints are removed from the earth by rapture. God will prepare the next generation to carry His word to those who will be redeemed during the day of the Lord. Then He will judge Jew and Gentile alike, and in the process, purge the nation of Israel, so that at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11, 25 and 26. Revelation chapter 7, which we took a survey of here this morning as we read a few verses, Revelation 7 is the key section of Scripture showing the passing of the torch as the saints are raptured, bringing an innumerable multitude into heaven. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. This is after the 144,000 are sealed in Revelation 7, 1 through 8. They're sealed for protection, according to Revelation 9, verse 4. During their coming day of the Lord ministry as priests unto God, the saints will be raptured from wrath, rescued from the persecution of the Antichrist just before the Lord brings His wrath upon those that remain on the earth, exactly as He promised. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But He will not leave planet earth without a human witness. This great company of Jews, the 144,000, will follow the Lamb wherever He goes, Revelation 14, 4, indicating their full surrender and total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be model disciples, witnessing of the Lord's redemption to those that do not know Him during those future days of the devastating fiery judgment called the Day of the Lord. How will this great company of the sons of Israel be chosen? Will they be saved before or after the rapture of the saints? Are they merely physical descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel who are sealed? Or are they already believing sons of God before the sealing takes place? Servants of God, they're called here in this passage. If the Lord continues to operate the way He has throughout the ages, those who are sealed will already be mightily prepared servants of our God, Revelation 7:3. Those servants whom He has chosen and who will already have fully surrendered their lives to the service of the Lamb, their King. The Scripture clearly indicates that the 144,000 are sealed servants of God, sons of Israel, having his name, the Father's name, written in their foreheads. They could learn that new song. They were redeemed from the earth. They were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. Significant title. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Revelation 7, 3-8, 14, 1-5 unfolds those facts. This impeccable group of God's faithful servants are duly called and qualified to be the Lord's representatives during the most trying of circumstances ever experienced by a child of God. They are a choice group of God's bond servants, the doulos. In Revelation chapter 7, they're described as doulos, which are those bond servants who are given over to the will of their master. They fully know their position and calling and willingly give themselves to the Lord for his service, whatever it may be. They're not just a generic group of Jews mystically selected to be protected during the day of the Lord in order that the physical seed of Israel survives. No, this is a prime group of men, chosen saints of God, who've been called out of the 12 tribes for such a time as this. Esther 4:14. The Lord will bring upon all of mankind his fiery judgment on the earth, upon the earth and its inhabitants. That's called the great day of the Lord, Malachi 4:5, the great and dreadful day of the Lord, also described as the wrath of God in Isaiah 13, verses 6 to 10, and Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This group, because of the complete description given them in Revelation 7, 3 to 8, and Revelation 14, 1 to 5, is clearly identified as, first of all, sealed. This indicates the protection of God in the midst of his day of the Lord wrath. Revelation 9, verse 4. Revelation 9, 4 says this, and it was commanded to them, that's these locusts, that they should not, Revelation 9, 4, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So the judgment's coming upon men who have not the seal, and so they are protected here in the midst of judgment, Revelation 9, 4. In the past, the Lord has removed his own people prior to his judgments, similar to the rapture. Just like Noah and Lot, he delivered Noah and his family before the flood came, and he delivered Lot and his family before the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. But in this instance here, the Lord gives the 144,000 the protection of his name upon their foreheads in the midst of his judgment. In Ezekiel chapter 9, if you want to turn there, we're going to look at an illustration, a parallel to the 144,000 in Ezekiel chapter 9. There, they are seen in the Old Testament in parallels and illustrations, and they're pointed out in certain passages to give us a clearer understanding of these men and exactly what's going to happen in that day. Now, first of all, in Ezekiel 9 and in Revelation 7, we've got to emphasize this fact that it is the Lord, the sovereign ruler of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, who is bringing the judgment, the Lord's wrath upon the earth at the end of the age. The end of Revelation chapter 6, as we saw there, confirms this to be the case. This statement in Revelation 6:17 supplies us with the fact of who is responsible for the impending judgment, which will begin when the first trumpet is blown in chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8 also verifies that the Lord is responsible for what occurs in chapter 9. for the Lord cries with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city. We're going here, reading here at Ezekiel 9 now, verse 1 through 6. He says, charge them that have charge over the city, cause them to have over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood by the brazen altar there at the temple. And the glory of God was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house of God. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark, or a signature, upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark or signature. And he said, begin at my sanctuary, begin at the house of God. Judgment begins at the house of God here. Ezekiel 9, verses 1 through 6. In this vision of Ezekiel, the Lord commands his representatives to bring his judgment upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But before the judgment falls, he supernaturally protects his own, sets his mark, his signature upon their foreheads in the midst of his judgment. Here he is protecting his own. In the book of the Revelation, a similar event occurs, as we've read this morning. After these things, I saw four angels, and then it goes on to show that before the judgment occurs, the 144,000 are sealed, which supplies them with protection in the midst of judgment, just as here in Ezekiel chapter 9. The seal of the living God applied by his angel is identified as his name written in their foreheads, Revelation 14, verse 1. The word for mark in Ezekiel could also be translated signature, and it's similar with what will take place in Revelation chapter 7, just prior to that day when God's judgment comes upon the earth, the day of the Lord's wrath. So he protects his own, this parallel, in the midst of the day of the Lord's judgment. Another parallel in Ezekiel 9:3, it says, the glory of God, of the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. This action taken by God before the protection of his own and the judgment of those in Jerusalem is illustrated by the promise of the Lord to the saints in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture of the saints there, the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior to take his own to heaven, illustrates a similar event. It took place in the vision of Ezekiel as God removes his glory from its place, which is similar to the saints departing earth by rapture when his glory, the body of Christ, the saints, John 17:22 tells us that that's God's glory on earth, they are removed. The timing of this event is just before his wrath begins in Revelation 8:1. He promised the saints they'd be delivered from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. And so he will rapture the saints just before his judgment begins, just before he seals the 144,000 with his signature. The saints will pass the torch, as it were, to these 144,000. Five parallels or similarities to the revelation are seen in Ezekiel's vision. Number one, the Lord is responsible for the judgment. Number two, the Lord's representatives bring the judgment. Number three, the Lord's glory is removed before the judgment comes. Number four, the Lord marks his own before the judgment. And number five, the Lord protects his own in the midst of judgment. In addition, there are two other groups who have the Lord's name written upon them: the overcomers of the Church of Philadelphia, Revelation 3:12, and the servants of the Lamb in heaven, Revelation 22, verses 3 and 4. Both of these groups are shown to be saints before they have the name of the Lord written upon them. These two groups of saints receive these blessings as eternal rewards for their overcoming lives and service to their Lord. Right after the sealing of the 144,000, the raptured saints are seen in heaven. After this, it says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, as we've read earlier. This great multitude comes out of the great tribulation, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, which indicates not the actual geographic location, but the time period from whence they came. This just happens to be the right time period at this point in the chronology of the book of the Revelation for the saints to be raptured, because we've come to the end of the great tribulation, according to Revelation 6, 12 through 17, and the Lord's parallel in Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. We're right on schedule, as the Lord indicated. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, Matthew 24, 29. This is exactly where we are in the sequence of events in the book of the Revelation. For this is the sign which occurs before the day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verses 30 and 31, the first of the writing prophets of the Old Testament recorded that fact. This sign, which is shown in Revelation 6, 12 to 17, will occur before the day of the Lord begins. That's the wrath of God, the most prophesied event in Scripture. It's about to occur. He removes, when the seventh seal is removed, chapter 8, verse 1, the opening of the scroll, which contains the wrath of God, begins with the first trumpet judgment. But the saints have been promised to be delivered from wrath, which is exactly what's happening here. God delivers them from wrath, and the timing is perfectly exact with the chronology the Lord gives in Matthew 24. However, before we can move from Revelation 6, which ends with the sixth seal and the announcement of the great day of his wrath just about to occur, the passing of the torch must take place. The 144,000 are sealed, Revelation 7, 3 through 8, with the signature of God on their foreheads. Then the glory of God departs the church, saints, in Revelation 7, 9, and the saints are raptured just before the wrath of God begins in chapter 8. Then there's a half an hour silence in heaven, Revelation 8:1. All praise to the Lord of glory is silenced. For the first time in the history of Scripture, all heaven is quiet and still. The calm before the storm. The most prophesied event in Scripture, as we've mentioned, the day of the Lord is about to begin. Then the Lord initiates his fiery judgment of planet Earth and its inhabitants with the progressive heavenly sequence of voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, followed by the sounding of the first trumpet, Revelation 8, 1 to 7, all of which emanates from the throne of God, where all authority in heaven and earth resides. And so, the passing of the torch takes place. The saints are home in heaven, Revelation 7, 9 through 17. The 144,000 are sealed prior. They are protected and ready to continue serving the Lord during the coming day of the Lord's wrath, when they will follow the Lamb wherever he goes, Revelation 14:4, showing their complete dedication to his will and leading as they serve him during those fiery and tumultuous days ahead. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity and the beauty of what you have put together. And we look to thee today to enlighten us, and Lord, give us the power to continue walking with thee, witnessing for thee, that we might win souls unto Jesus in these last days. For Jesus' sake, amen.